Hello and thank you for calling, Blastoodle. I wish I were not a computer voice answering service. What I would give to be a human and drink mocha lattes all the day long. Blast technology and blast podcasts. Ha 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 ha. Oh, and I was programmed to say, it's mocha lattes time. That's right. You heard me, coffee people of the world. It's mocha lattes time.
All new Coffee Lovin' Show coming up this week. We have the coffee scene from Daytona Beach, Florida. Special guest, Captain Ware. And an all new exclusive from Mod Dog coming up next. Welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina. And this is my podcast where every week I bring you the local coffee scene in whatever town we're in with the circus. So, that's right, I said circus. The circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee. So, this is... What I do, one of my hobbies, and you're here with me wherever. Actually, we're in the Flying Dutchman this week, which is my RV that I travel around in. And it's a Wednesday night here, chilly night, and you can probably hear that. That's my furnace kicking on. It's pretty cold tonight here in Charlotte. We had, just to give you a recap of the past week, we were in Sarasota, Florida. If you tuned into last week's episode on Coffee with the Clowns, we're in Sarasota, Florida, and we played 3 days in Daytona. So it was kind of maybe the circus version of drive-by, but 3 quick days in Daytona Beach, and then I stopped in Augusta on the way up here for a few days, which I'll talk about in a second, and then we're here in Charlotte, North Carolina for 2 weeks, which is unprecedented for us since we usually only do one week in each town. So I'm sitting here with my espresso. I have a Doppio here, which is a double shot of espresso, and it's pretty good. I've been kind of cutting my teeth in on my new machine, and I'm not going to mention what kind of machine I have yet because I'm going to do a whole... probably half an episode on a new member for my coffee family, so I'm just trying to get the kinks worked out of it, and just kind of actually had to get a replacement machine on that, I'm waiting until things kind of settle out a little bit before I introduce that to everybody out there in the coffee world, but something to look forward to, for sure. So, this past week, I'm going to get right to it. Great show this week. We got a special guest interview that I recorded earlier this week, and upcoming events, of course, but I'm gonna just dive right into it. I usually put the coffee scene a little bit later in the show, but I got my espresso here, and I'm excited about drinking espresso and talking about espresso, so yeah. So right into the coffee scene this week. We were in Sarasota last week as we finished up, and had a great find last week. You have to go back and listen to last week's episode with Coffee with the Clowns to check that out. But this week, as I said, we were in Daytona. Now, Daytona itself is, Daytona Beach is right there on the east coast of Florida. It's about, if you know where Cape Canaveral is, where they shoot the space shuttles, launch the space shuttles there. It's about a little bit over an hour north of there. Or Orlando, which is smack dab in the center of Florida. It's about an hour away from there. I think it's that close. You go by DeLand and so forth. Anyways, that's where Daytona Beach is. And they're best known for, I would say, the Daytona Speedway, which is right there off of, 95? I think that runs, I don't have a map in front of me, so I'm going by memory here, but But yeah, it runs. It's right off. You get off on International Speedway, and the speedway is right there. And if you keep going east on International Speedway, it'll take you right downtown Daytona Beach. So yeah, NASCAR Daytona 500 speed. You know, this Daytona Speedway is, I'd say, the number one thing Daytona is known for. The second biggest thing, which I would say, is motorcycles. I would say it's probably the biggest motorcycle town in the U.S. of A. It's they have Bike Week every year, which I believe is in February, and we're gonna miss it by a couple weeks this year. But Bike Week is, I think, the largest motorcycle festival, or whatever you want to call it, gathering of motorcycle people, maybe in the world, perhaps. I don't know. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's fun. I went last year and had some crazy stories about that, but I'll save those for another podcast another time. But yeah, so that's Daytona Beach. As far as the scene itself, there's a lot of hotels. It's kind of a, besides the Speedway and Bike Week, it's definitely kind of a resort type of place. They have the beach, obviously, and it's a nice beach, and they've done a lot to kind of improve the ocean front there. And of course, there's places you can get charter boats to go fishing, or I don't know, there's all kinds of stuff to do. I mean, you can just go hang out on the beach, you know, and they have some really nice hotels there downtown. And we were at the Ocean Center, which is right downtown. It was literally across the street from the beach, which is nice, because it's one of the better locations of arenas that I think we play on the tour, for sure. But yeah, so anyways, enough about Daytona. Now about Daytona's coffee scene. Well, oh, let me take a sip of my espresso. It's getting cold. You can't let espresso get cold and then drink it. Just a second. It's pretty good stuff. It's a, yeah, I usually say what kind of espresso I'm drinking. This week it's a Toscano from Counterculture Coffee. I actually got it when I was at the Metro coffee shop last week, and it's good stuff, I have to say. Fresh, no matter what kind of beans you grind for your espresso or even coffee, fresh is always best. I've been coming to find that out, and thinking about actually starting to roast my own, but I don't know, maybe I'll talk about that later in the episode. So, coffee scene in Daytona Beach, Florida. Well, it's mostly Starbucks. I would say it's definitely dominated by Starbucks. And then beyond that, you have a few independents. Last year when we were there, I checked out a place called Bauta Bean, which is kind of in a flea market type of thing right there by the interstate. And if you want to see that review, just go on the bestmochalatte.blogspot.com, where all the reviews you can find are on there. I'm working on getting all of them up. I have, I think, 230 plus reviews, something like that, I'm working on putting up there. So yeah, so there's that. But this year I tried three places. The first place, we didn't have much time there actually, but there are only, I think, four independents in all of Daytona Beach. The first place was Hot Spot Coffee Shop. Now, this place was a really nice little cafe. The owners there, great people, very friendly. They actually were in the aerospace industry, and it's a husband and wife team there, and they have a publishing company, and they decided to open a coffee shop in the front of the building. They had extra space, kind of like Corey and Peter up there at Crave Coffee Shop in Pennsylvania. Any case, yeah, Hot Spot Coffee Shop, very nice space. They do an open mic night. They do like a poetry reading type of thing, and have a lot of music there. So it's definitely a community space, and great tables to sit down. They have kind of like the higher seating tables by the windows, and you know, very nice laid back kind of decor. Not busy, not noisy. You know, you can definitely go there and you know, chat with friends, and they have music night. Very good time. They're very the owners there are very big about kind of that community atmosphere, and having live music, and you know, kind of fostering that community. So, yeah, very nice people there. Now, the mocha latte, I wrote here, an average drink, no foam, served in-house cup, weak bean taste, possibly old beans, maybe. Use Ghirardelli's chocolate. They did ask on whipped cream, so I gave that drink a 3.1 beans. And as I said a minute ago, you can always find the bean scale at the bestmochalatte.blogspot.com on there. So yes, so that was Hotspot Coffee Shop. Right down the street from them is the Java Junction Donut and Coffee Company. Now this place, the easiest way to put it is it's basically a Dunkin' Donuts that serves espresso drinks. That's about, you walk in and it's a spitting image of Dunkin' Donuts and they have to serve espresso. And I wasn't too impressed with their espresso, with the mocha latte. I wrote here, run away. Yeah, I guess that was pretty... Not very excited about this drink. This drink was auto to go cup, bitter espresso, fake tasting chocolate, very loose foam. I wrote I wouldn't pay for this drink again. So 2.3 beans on the Java Junction Donut and Coffee Place. Last but not least was Barney's Coffee and Tea. It was right across the street from the building this week, and Barney's is, I believe it's a local to Florida chain. The only ones I ever visited were in Florida. And I usually don't go to chains too much unless to see if they're consistent. Because I usually try to find the independence coffee houses, which usually have the better mocha lattes. This case, the last time I tried a Barney's was, I guess it was about a year ago in West Palm Beach when I was down there. At I think it was Albuquerque City Center. Yeah, that was one of the first, actually one of the first that I recorded. Any case, I won't get into reminiscing nostalgia for y'all. But Barney's Coffee and Tea, I wrote here, too much foam, way too much. It was more of a cappuccino, really. Blah chocolate, blah espresso, wasn't worth the money. Served out of a go cup. And they asked on whipped cream, so I gave them a 2.9 beans, and so that was the drink. The environment is very friendly. It's definitely a franchise type feel to it, which, you know, they're all kind of the same when you walk in, which I guess is the whole purpose of having a franchise, is so that you can duplicate and replicate and make more money if you're the franchise owner. But, so that was Barney's Coffee and Tea. Now, like I mentioned earlier, I did stop in Augusta, and I got to visit my friend Captain Mark Ware and his family there. His family, Tira, Ryan, and Kim. And got to sit down with them, actually, and we got to talk a little bit about coffee, he has some great stories. But before I get to the interview, though, I'll come up in one second. I did try two places in Augusta, two coffee places, because, I mean, I can't go anywhere without trying the mocha latte, right? So I stopped at Inner Bean, which is brand spanking new. They are, I think, only like 2 months old. And it's right there off of Washington Road. And you walk in, and it's a very cool little place. It's two mother and daughter combos went together to open this place, and it has a great feel, very kind of modern / retro kind of feel. You walk in, and they do, I believe some food, pastries there, and of course the coffee and espresso, and you walk in, and there's tables and chairs that have that kind of retro feel, some art on the wall, and you go past the counter and to the back, and they have a very cool space back there, a room where they have couches, it's all carpeted, kind of like an olive green paint on the wall with, I think it was a brown, maybe brown ceiling. Very low-key, very relaxing, good place to study. They got free Wi-Fi there. And they also have, I think it's like a poetry open mic kind of night on Monday nights. So Yeah, it was a very cool space. Now, the drink, however, I wrote here, it was a decent drink, but nothing special. Served out of the go cup, they asked on the whipped cream. Foam was a little loose, chocolate taste was okay, espresso was average. I would have liked to taste more of this espresso, whatever. I can't read my own writing. Yes, I wrote. Sorry, I can't. Sometimes I write in haste, and maybe it's all the caffeine. But I wrote here. Still new shop, so it should get better. So overall, the drink, I gave them a 3.7 beans. Yes, and the last but not least, I also visited Augusta. This was a repeat or maybe a three-peat visit. It was Daily Grind, and their drink. Now I don't usually go back and read my other reviews if I visit the place more than once, because kind of see if what their consistency is and taste and so forth. But I wrote about the drink was a little on the sweet side, and there was too much foam for a latte. It was more kind of a cappuccino, I guess. Was a little loose at that on the foam. Espresso that I could taste seemed okay, but it was overpowered by the chocolate. So, and it was served on a to-go cup, and they asked on the whipped cream. So I gave that drink a 3.5 beans. I was at the Daily Grind, which that's still relatively a new place as well. I don't even think they've been open a year yet. So that's the coffee scene this week. That was Daytona Beach and Augusta. And while it was in Augusta, got to sit down with a good friend of mine. He's actually an old roommate. You'll hear us talk a little bit about it. But good times. Crazy stories from coffee in Korea, and I think he served in Iraq too, but yeah, good stuff. So check it out. We'll have the interview, and then we'll wrap it up for this week. Best mocha latte interview on location in Augusta, Georgia. I have here with me my special guest, Captain Mark Ware. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And he's enthused to be here because we're drinking coffee. So we're drinking lots. We drank lots of coffee today, didn't we?
We have. We've been pounded. Yeah, we're double fisting now.
Yeah, with the coffee. Yeah, he's got. What do you have there? You got two mugs of something.
Well, I had the French press that you made me to teach me how to use my French press.
Right.
And then I had the Pete's coffee that I made you.
Oh, that's the one from. Okay. Yeah. So we drink a lot of coffee. I brought the. I'm here visiting on the way up to Charlotte, and Mark and I are old roommates, and I can't say military buddies because I was never in the military.
But you lived it vicariously.
That's right. I learned all the code words, you know, so I can. What did I learn? MRE and.
SOP.
Standard. What's
standard SOP? Operating procedure?
Oh yeah, standard operating procedure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he'd come out at night in his war paint with his M16 out, knocking on doors like, Nathan, we have an intruder. We got to evacuate ASAP. No, not really. It would have been exciting, I guess. But probably would have scared our neighbors, though.
Yeah, I think Pam and Missy
would have freaked out.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's tell everybody, they know you're Captain Ware, but they don't know much beyond that. So you've been in the armed services how long?
Altogether, I've been in about 8 years now.
Okay.
I graduated from college and went into the military. Mm-hmm. And then in 99, I actually got out.
Okay.
Separated. And then, September 11th, I felt it was my duty as a U.S. citizen to go back in and, mm-hmm. Do whatever I can to make sure that never happens to us again.
Huh.
And, my I guess I come from a family of military. My grandfather was on the invasion in Normandy.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. I didn't
know that. And he was a anti-tank gunner. Okay. Which generally those guys live in terms of minutes and hours rather than anything else, because back in those days, you know, you'd have to stand up and, you know, shoot. And then my dad, whom you've met, mm-hmm. Steve Aruni. Yeah. hey, Dad, if you're listening. Yeah, he was in Vietnam. And so I just felt...
Yeah, you said he was a gunner from the boats, right, in Vietnam?
He was from the aircraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a helicopter gunner at one point. I've got this fantastic picture I'll have to show you later of him behind the Gatling gun.
Really? Wow.
But, yeah, you know, and of course neither my grandfather nor my father wanted me to go in. Mm-hmm. Especially I chose to go into the infantry and airborne at Fort Bragg, 82nd mm-hmm. Airborne is at Bragg. Okay. And that was the last thing they wanted.
Yeah.
But I just think that for me, the biggest thing for me was I wanted to do the most good for the most people. And some people may say, well, why didn't you join the Peace Corps?
Right.
And, you know, the way that I looked at it is the Peace Corps is a great organization, but you can't shoot guns and blow stuff up in the Peace Corps. And, you know, people deserve to have others look after them that truly care about their country. And so that's what made me decide to go in the military.
Hmm.
Yeah, same reason I came back in for 9/11.
Right, same thing. Yeah. Now you served. How many tours of duty have you served now since you've been in? I remember you telling me stories about, I guess Iraq. You were over there for a little while.
Yeah. I've been deployed, I guess, three times now.
Okay.
Three times now. Technically four, but you know it's such a short period of time, that last one, that I don't really call it a, you know, full-on deployment, but,
right. You
know, good times. Not really, but, you know, that...
You have some crazy stories. I remember you used to tell me when you were in the DMZ, which, for those of you listening, that's the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, and it's basically, well, you could tell them about it or not, because you were there. Like, what, for someone who isn't familiar with that or has never been there, which most people haven't, how would you, what's the easiest way to describe it to a civilian?
Oh boy. You know, it's just a no man's land between two countries. And you know, Korea itself, you know, once you get away from the city, which is somewhat of a dirty city, I would although it is beautiful, and the cool thing about Korea, the cities, is, you know, you're walking down a street, and all of a sudden, here's this huge palace in the middle of nowhere, and it just blows your mind, because, you know, you turn the corner of all these large, you know, buildings and some skyscrapers, and
right. Now
all of a sudden, here's this blast from the past. You know, this old pagoda in the middle of nowhere,
yeah. You
know, in a temple, and you're able to walk in, and, you know, it's just a fascinating country. However, the DMZ, going up to the DMZ, the, you know, part of it is there's a river that separates where some of the military bases are from, I want to say, the rest of South Korea, but that's only, you know, to a certain extent. But anyway, you cross a bridge, and then it's nothing but rice paddies.
Okay.
And then you have a couple of military bases, and then once you go up this certain road for quite a bit, then you come to the JSA, which is the where you have a joint service component, and it's actually a United Nations base that we man. And there's all these buildings where we negotiated for peace.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of neat because there's a room that has a stripe down the floor, and there's a table in the middle, and we're allowed to walk, you know, up to that stripe, and of course the North Koreans are allowed to walk up on the other side of that stripe.
Huh.
And you can't cross it, or else you've just invaded, you know, the other country.
Wow.
And that's kind of funny, because one of the things that both sides do is, when they have meetings or when they have tours, you know, we pick very...
Oops. Uh-oh. It's my phone. This is a live podcast. Who's that calling? I don't have to call him back. Okay. Continue. I'm sorry. Pardon
no,
my phone.
No, that's cool. But, so yeah, the... kind of lost my train of thought. Oh, but... like, one of the things that we do is we pick out guys that are really tall, you know, 6'3" and uh-huh. huge, muscular guys,
uh-huh.
and we put them in that room, you know, and the North Koreans, of course, try to get their tallest people, too, but their tallest people are about as tall as I am.
Right.
And so it's just funny, the posturing and, you know, the sort of the intimidation factor that you try to have, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, overall, you know,
and you guys are out there. You were out there, rain or shine, right?
Yeah, you're out there. They have what's called OPs, which are observation posts, and
okay.
and you know, those are manned, you know, 24/7.
Huh.
So, and I think you may have been one of the stories you were talking about is when I saw some cranes, and you know, a crane. You know, some of the cranes are almost the height of a man,
uh-huh.
and when you're looking through thermal scopes, you know, you can see the heat signature. And so I was looking through at night a thermal scope, and I thought that this huge, you know, about a 4 to 5 man team
uh-huh.
was coming to you know, attack us, just because I could see it, you know, these folks moving, and they're moving, it looked almost like a military formation. So I thought, oh my God, the North Koreans are coming down to the DMZ. And so fortunately for me, I was there with somebody that you know, was a lot more experienced, because I was brand new,
right.
And he said, no, don't do anything. And now, here I am, I'm freaking out.
Ready to pull out their weapons.
Yeah, I'm thinking about those guys at Pearl Harbor that heard the radio transmission. And,
oh, right. Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, oh, God, who are we calling? And then all of a sudden, you know, one of the North Koreans spreads its wings and starts flapping and flying away. And I'm like, oh, it's a crane. Ah. So I just felt so silly. But... you know, there's a lot of history there, and the, you know, the North Koreans, the soldiers, we would do stuff, and like we would give them stuff. You know, they have binoculars that, you know, they look at us, and mm-hmm. You know, we'd hold up, you know, maybe food, or we'd hold up magazines, or
mm-hmm.
and then they, you know, you could see them look, and they're surprised because they lean back, and then they shake their heads, and you know, you set up a meeting point, uh-huh. yeah, like, and then they hold up something.
Huh.
And the North Koreans, they never really had anything worth, you know, trading. So normally they would give you, you know, maybe a hat or a patch, you know, uh-huh. from the uniforms. They had cigarettes, but, you know, I don't smoke, and then their cigarettes are horrible anyway.
Right.
So what we would do is we'd have like a trash bag, you know, maybe put some jeans in there, or you know, some marbles or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you know, you flick it over to them, and then they you know, flick it back to you all in secret, you know. And it's just funny because, you know, here's these two countries that, you know, technically are still at war, they're just under a ceasefire,
right?
And yeah, you know, we're spreading the wealth of cultural awareness. Yeah.
Oh man! So coffee and the military. Obviously, you guys drink a lot of coffee. I know you tell me on. Well, right now you're stationed where? Fort Gordon, right?
Yeah, I'm at the wonderful Fort Gordon at home of the Masters.
And, yeah, yeah, Augusta. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we're playing a lot of golf down here.
Yeah.
But yeah, for coffee, you know, I started drinking coffee early, found the benefits early on in college, and staying awake to...
Yes, keeping you aware.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And so, you know, you go, when you're out with the military, they have coffee for us when we eat chow, when we have hot meals, but
okay. The
coffee's just horrible, so we try different techniques to, you know, bring some real flavor, you know, into our daily lives.
Okay, so I'm getting this picture now. So you're sitting in the middle of the desert, you know, at your command post or whatever, and well, they have like a mess call or...
Yeah, you know, we would have, they have, it's called a MKT, which is sort of a mobile kitchen. And, but a lot of places, like in Iraq, there's, you know, a Camp Anaconda, and then there's Camp Liberty, and we're eating in facilities.
Okay.
It's when you get away from that, you know, if you're out for more than 24 hours, then you're going to need to make something.
Right.
But yeah, just through experience, one of the things that we've tried is a version of the French press.
Oh, yeah?
We like to call the sock press.
Clean socks, of course, right?
Well, you know, clean socks, that was our first try, was a clean sock. Unfortunately, we found out the hard way that you have to be careful of the fabric softener and the detergent, because the coffee had a very distinct and bold Tide Tide Ultra taste.
So it was pretty clean coffee is what you're saying.
It's very clean. I think...
Because everyone's rolling their eyes out there for that name joke. Sorry, very sarcastic sense of humor.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was just hilarious because we were all excited. At the time that we actually tried this, we were actually in the woods rather than anywhere in the Middle East, and it was just extremely cold. This was actually in Korea, and it had been raining and just so cold, and we're looking for something. So, you know, we had these little heat tabs. Mm-hmm. You light them, and then you have a canteen cup, which is a metal cup, and you boil water. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh yeah, we'll use this sock. So we put the coffee in, and then we, you know, pour the coffee, the water over the coffee, and oh God, it was just horrible, horrible. And so then we moved from socks to bandoleros, which there's a weapon called the M249, more commonly known as the SAW, the squad assault weapon.
Okay.
And the ammunition comes in a little plastic container.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a belt fed weapon, like an M60 when you look in the movies.
Yeah.
You know, Rambo.
Right.
You know. And so this is sort of a version of that. And so the plastic container that holds the ammunition comes in a bandolero, and it just sets inside of it. And it's a nylon type material.
Okay.
You know, a cloth basically. And so we thought, oh, well, let's use this because we know this certainly won't taste like Tide. And so we rinsed it out a couple times, and then that is what we would use for field expedient coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you call it FEC, field expedient coffee?
We just called it good at the time. Although I think you've coined a new phrase today.
There we go. Added a new to the military jargon.
That's right.
Acronym. Oh, wow. Well, that's cool. So you ended up taking an ammunition container. And the you said it was a lining, the bandolero?
Well, it was a pouch
that
with a strap on it. So you would take this plastic drum that actually contained the ammo, and it would sit inside of this pouch. And so that way you would have plenty of ammunition on you.
If
you need to reload, of course, you just pull it out.
Right, okay.
Because the drum is too large to really carry in your pocket.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, drape it across you. Sort of the military man purse.
Okay.
The lethal military man purse.
have to keep it as manly as possible.
Yeah, once we...
Oh, man. So, and then you would actually... If, how would you filter it?
Oh, well, what we did was we actually stole two cans of pudding to uh-huh. make this happen. We had this sergeant. I mean, it didn't matter what you wanted. You could talk to this. You could ask him for a Russian plane, and somehow this guy would get it. He could bring a nuclear sub to the Sahara Desert. Right. I mean, this guy was, and so, you know, we said, boy, what we really need are two, you know, big cans. And, you know, within a matter of an hour or two, all of a sudden, there he is with these cans. And so that's what we would, in one can, we'd boil the water, right. And then we'd set up the bandolero on the other can okay. with the coffee in it. And then once that water was boiling hot, then mm-hmm. we'd pour it in, and then we'd, you know, do it a couple of times just to get all the flavor through.
Okay.
And, it wasn't the best coffee,
right.
but it was a heck of a lot better than that watered down stuff they would bring us.
Yeah,
but it was.
So they would try to make coffee a mess then when you were eating on mm-hmm. on base. They would have some form of coffee at that point.
Yeah, at base, and then sometimes they would bring coffee. If we were my exchange student just came in. Kim, say hello.
Hi, Kim. Say hello.
Hey, wherever you are.
say welcome to the best mocha latte in German.
Willkommen zum besten Mocha Latte.
There we go. How would you say in German, I want to drink a mocha latte?
Ich möchte gerne eine Mocha Latte.
There you go. So anyone, when you go to Germany, now you know what to say. You're on the podcast. What she's turning three shades of red right now. Kim is, she's an exchange student from Köln, right? Or Cologne in English. And
yes.
And my accent isn't that good in German. yeah, she's, I don't know why she's going, there's a cell phone message. Yeah, our phones, sorry, I apologize for our phones been ringing here throughout the whole time, but, yeah, well, cool. Well, thanks, Kim.
Bye.
Bye.
Wiedersehen.
Tschüss.
Yeah, there we go. So, well, cool. Well, we should wrap it up. We're pretty well into,
20 minutes
worth. Yeah, 20 minutes worth, so, yeah, well, very cool. Thanks, Captain Ware, for...
Yeah, so funny you calling me by.
Well, I don't know. We're talking to the world, so I figured you know they know you as Captain Ware. But we're broadcasting from his palatial state here in Augusta, Georgia, and the private offices. Yes, right. So I have to say, one exciting thing that. Knowing Mark is watching the show 24. If you ever watch the show 24, anytime you watch it with him, he always is the first person to point out, is like, well, that would never happen in real life. You know, watching that show with a military expert at your side is funny because he can pick out all the Hollywood that's in the show. But definitely makes it for more interesting, more interesting watching. But.
You know, and it's a great program, and it seems to. Over the episodes, it's getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, and so I enjoy it because, you know, the stuff that's portrayed, you know, although it's got some Hollywood flair to it, you know, that a lot of it is definitely, you know, feasible. It's definitely doable. And so...
There's a lot of truth.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And... But yeah, I love that show. I think it's a fantastic show.
It's addictive. I remember when we roomed together, man, we'd be up till what, like midnight, 1 a.m, and we both had to get up for work the next day, and he'd be like, we'd be watching the DVD series, and of course, you know how, if you've ever watched 24, the TV show, then you know at the end of every episode is like a cliffhanger, and you're like, leaves you wanting to watch. So we're like, oh, we got more one more.
Yeah, it goes from, well, we need to go, instead of 8 hours, we can do with 7 hours, and then degrades.
You know, so if I have a cup of coffee, I can make it on 6 hours of sleep. Well, if I have a cup of coffee, shot of espresso, I can make it on 5 hours. I can
go to the car, take a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
For about 30 minutes, I can do it. We can do this.
Then when you get down to 4 hours, like, well, sleep's overrated. You can sleep when you're dead. But in any case, well, thank you, Mark. Captain Weir, I should say, for coming. Any final words for the listeners around the world?
Love your country, love your coffee.
That's a good catchphrase. I'm gonna have to borrow that. I'll give you credit for it. Don't worry.
Oh, that's fine.
We'll trademark it.
I won't even charge you royalty fees for that.
Wow, how generous of you! I'll make. All right. Well, thanks again. Over and out.
'Good stuff. Well, welcome back. That about wraps it up for this week's show. Thank you for stopping by, checking out the podcast, and listening. If you just got an iPod for Christmas and are checking it out, welcome. I like iPods. They're fun. So I'm not getting paid to endorse them, but I like my iPod. It's pretty cool to be able to carry my entire week's worth of podcasts, or, well, I try to keep, I listen to a lot of, well, not a lot of podcasts, maybe, but, yeah, I have a half dozen or so that I try to keep up with, but, yeah, welcome. So, if you want to find out more about the podcast, you can always go to bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. That's my main page where I put pictures up there. There's other links to, for example, Mod Dog's music, or if you want to check out the Bean rating scale or the written reviews, there's links, or even search for coffee on Google Earth is there as well. And then there's also, like I said, the blog, which was originally started at bestmochalatte.blogspot.com. Or if you want to leave comments, I'd enjoy hearing from you wherever you're listening from in the world, or even if you want to share how your favorite way to enjoy coffee, for that matter. You can call in on my call line. It's 206-202-1444, and leave a voicemail on there. Or you can send an email to bestmochalatte@podomatic.com. So yeah, good stuff there. And I also want to send a shout out to the Blueberry Network for hosting the podcast. That's at you can find them actually at blubrry.com. There's no E in there, because there's no E in fruit, so there's no E in blueberry. For hosting the podcast and putting it out there for everyone to listen to. And spread the word. Next week we have I'm going to be I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm really excited about this town. I did a little bit of legwork today, and there's about 13 places I want to check out. Looks like there's some good coffee. I know Counterculture's from here, and gonna see if I can maybe talk to them and pick their brains a little bit about some good coffee stuff and pass along to y'all. And good stuff, weather permitting, of course. They're calling for ice tonight, and you know, there was some talk on the circus lot about our trailer sliding away. We're on quite a bit of a slope this week, which makes it a challenge for me to make espresso, because I have to make sure the espresso machine, you know, it's one of those things that you never really think about in the regular world, you know, whether your house is level or not. But on the road, you quickly come to find, especially living in an RV, you know, it sounds like making sure your RV is level kind of seems silly, because, oh, you know, regular person thinks, oh, you know, you can get by with if you have to lean a little bit when you sleep or whatever, which, yeah, you could. But the real problem is that if you don't get your RV level, then your water doesn't drain right, and your refrigerator doesn't work, because that works by gravity. And your furnace doesn't work either, which is not good when the temperature dips down in the 30s and 20s. Fahrenheit, that is, Fahrenheit. Yeah, so, plus your, and then your espresso machine doesn't brew, pull the shots quite right either. So there's a lot of things you have to consider when you're on the circus lot. We're supposed to get ice tonight. They're calling for an ice storm. And some of the people, I know, we're worried about their RVs sliding down the hill because we're on a slope this week. And actually, my neighbor here, Alex, actually has his trailer tied to a tree. Yeah, he took one of those big industrial straps that you use to tie down like cars and stuff as cargo, and tied one end to his axle and tied the other end to a tree. So I hopefully next week when I talk to you, my RV will not have slid down a hill and hit anything. Or I heard a story that one time in Cleveland, one of the trailers slid into the river. So that's kind of scary, but I don't know. Hopefully all's well and we get a ice storm, no one slides, and they cancel tomorrow morning show. That would be a good thing. So yeah, next week, Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm hoping to take, weather permitting, a trip to the Blue Show and visit my friend Frick over there from the Frickin' Circus podcast. That should be good times. And yeah, so, and as always, you know, if you have any other coffee lovers in your life, tell them about the podcast. I would always love to get feedback and spread the word and hear how people are enjoying coffee. And if you have a new coffee shop, fine, send me an email at bestmochalatte@podomatic.com or call in on that call in line. And yeah, it'd be good. So cool. Well, until next week, we got a new Mod Dog hit. He calls this the Bad Chimp Blues with a Z. And you ask, why is it called Bad Chimp Blues? Well, you have to listen and check it out. It's good stuff. New stuff from Mod Dog exclusive right here first, nowhere else. And yeah, good stuff. So until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.